Jesus' name, Lord, what the Apostle Paul wrote down that even us, thousands of years later, can hear and believe. Yeah. Can hear and believe. It starts out about a mystery. You know, somebody making a... There's a lot of movies about mysteries. Some of them are well done, and you can't figure it out to the end. Some of them, boy, you get it right off the end. I said, I don't even need to watch the rest of this. This is revealing that I know at the end. And sometimes you think you know the end, and then you're totally surprised. Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 6, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Members together, one body, and shares together in the promise in Jesus Christ. Starting out, Paul is saying there's a mystery out there and it's being revealed. You know, we're blessed as a church. We have two Jewish believers in our congregation. And Michael Justin and
Maya.
Thank you. Wow, I don't know why that dropped. But you know, I did their wedding, and not their wedding, but her sister's wedding. And the presence of God was there, and the presence of God was there in that wedding ceremony. And her father kept talking to me after the service and saying, something is different here. And I told him it's the Messiah Jesus. So I want to take a moment right now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that spark of truth that came to Maya's father, that he will come to the knowledge of knowing Jesus as his Messiah. And the truth is that God came to bring salvation to Jew and Gentile alike. And why it's a mystery, because you know, it was culturally speaking, as a nation, the Lord started with Abraham and blessed Israel because he knew that salvation would come through that nation. But in that early church, there was a little conflict about, are Gentiles included? That's the revealed mystery, that Jesus came, that all men and women could come to know the Messiah and know salvation. In verse 10, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Something happened when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and for the forgiveness of sins of all men that would look at that sacrifice and receive that salvation. What was revealed? It says, rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, demons and angels came to know what happened. And I want to let you know, church, that we, as well as Israel that God loves, have been given authority over all the enemy. Do we know that? Do we live in that reality that we don't have to be trampled down, we need to trample over and put all the enemy under our feet? That is part of the mystery. He's revealing to us that believe that we have been given authority over all the enemy's ability. Then in verse 12, in him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. You know, and that's about what we do at 8:30. That's what you do in your closet. That's what you do in your private prayer time. And remember, he's the go-to person. He's the go-to person. When we go through various trials and difficulties, he's the go-to person. And he's the person that you and I can go to with confidence. Not only confidence that we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, not only confidence in knowing our identity and who we are, but the confidence that he's the go-to person that can change things. That's a level of confidence that God wants to grow us up in when we're going through difficult times, that we know the one we go to has given us authority, even trample down serpents. That we can approach God with freedom and confidence. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing given to us. You know, even like I shared earlier, God delivered me from getting hit by a semi-truck. Just by being aware of who I am, being aware of his voice, and doing what he says. Don't turn left. Verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now remember, he's talking about that the identification is also for Jews and Gentiles. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes, it was not excluding anyone. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being. Right. Let's stop there. You know, it's when I talked about meeting that guy in Pennsylvania, he sent me a letter. I repented and gave my life to Jesus. And then he said, now you got to come to Pennsylvania. I want to spend a week with you. And in that week, every waking hour, I had to be with him by his side, see him ministering, see him doing this and doing that. And I knew a little bit more than Steve, but I knew about Jesus. I knew how to talk about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. Now I came to this man knowing Jesus, and he said, there's something else for you. You can receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You can receive power from above. God wants to just totally know the freedom and confidence that you're walking into. So at the end of the week, him discipling me, he walked me out to the car and said, well, before he walked me out to the car, he had several men lay hands on me and say, and pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would be on me. Now, nothing really happened at that moment. I had no knowledge of anything. But he walked me out of the car. He said, now you're going to take orders from headquarters. You're going to hear God, obey what he says. And life changed radically in my life. Because now I had learned what I was learning. The riches, the glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being. Now, understand this. We have influences outside. Should that be our focus? No. Our focus should be what's inside. And what's inside manifesting itself to the outside. You know, and God in that journey, man, God has led me to impossible situations. People that the doctor said, remove life support. The best thing for them would be to die. And God brought me into those situations. Instead of death, life came to them. It's working and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit and be strengthened in that freedom and confidence. And then it goes on to say, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, and that's where the core to our being, that Jesus said, you know, love the, what are the greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Then love others as you love yourself. You know, and it goes, and it's what it's saying, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith. Faith not being tossed around, but faith filled with confidence and freedom. That's the kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that's growing in this church. And it's very evident as a pastor to see you growing in faith and believing God for the impossible. And that's a journey we're all on. And I want to let you know, it's a continual journey, that we don't hit a plateau and stop. Faith is a journey to increase. That we can come with confidence that know the God we serve is the God that performs and does the impossible. You know, when we say as a body of believers at the gathering place, we are going to see more manifestation of the Holy Spirit working in power. Now, what I mean by that? We're going to see Him heal the sick where you think it's impossible. We're going to see Him deliver relationships where we said, no, the relationships can't be fixed. Oh, no. Go to that throne of grace with freedom and confidence and say, God, restore broken relationships. Father God, I stand with you in restoring broken relationships. And we're going to see men and women coming to know Jesus. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you know, I live a lot of my life up to my 20s thinking I was saved, but not. You know, knowing the word, but not knowing the power of the word. So it says that we may pray, and this is Paul praying for the church, as well as right now, thousands of years later, that prayer is still an effective prayer, having been rooted and established in love. Do you know you're loved? Do you know you're loved? Do you know without a doubt that God loves you? And that do you know that you cannot be separated from that love? Do you know that He will continually love you whether you fall out of love with Him? Do you know he's continually beckoning you to acknowledge how great His love for you is? It's a love that is passes understanding. That's why I go to the next verses. May have power together with the Lord's holy people. That's us. You know, you've been made righteous.
Yeah.
It's a gift. It's not anything to do with your performance. It's a gift. All of us who come to know Jesus have the gift of righteousness. That's why we can go with confidence and freedom to Him. Because He's made us right with the Father. His blood has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. His act of love, dying on the cross, brought us into unbroken relationship with the Father. That together with all the Lord's holy people, that's you and me, to grasp or get a hold of, to have it a permanent place in our hearts, how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. God wants to take us on a journey to know the depth of his love. And that's a journey all of us are on to our last breath. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I'm going to go back and we're going to look into that, because I spent 20 some of my years having knowledge of the scriptures, but not understanding the message of the scriptures.
Amen. Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 8:1, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up and love builds up. You see, we can go with and There are people that might go to the finest learning centers to know the knowledge of the scriptures. And some of them, that's only led them to a place of pride. And they're puffed up because they've never, ever come to know the message of the Bible. Because love builds up. Love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. And you know, it takes the word of God, knowing of his great love for you and me, that can communicate heart to heart. Heart to heart. Because you can have all the knowledge of the scriptures and not affect one person, because it's like cold. But what brings warmth is knowing what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 3. Grow up, and know of his love, great love for you. Know how massive it is, how high, how wide, how deep his love is for us. Beyond your grasp, if I want to use that word. You know, it's when you come to that place of knowing his great love for you, when I walked Joe from Pennsylvania back after he said, take orders from headquarters, and he said, you're going to hear God. And when I started opening up the scriptures, and they became more than just words, they became power. In fact, Paul said that one time. He said, I don't come to you with a message of just mere words. I come to you with a message that's filled with the power of God. And oftentimes I pray before I give any message. A lot of times God brings me back to 1 Peter, where I think 1 or 2 Peter, where it says, you know, if you're going to take a place and speak to people and a crowd of people, remember it's me that's in you. And I will cause your voice to speak as if the oracles of God himself. So it says, you know, don't depend on yourself. Depend on his gift to you and I, the Holy Spirit dwelling richly in our lives. Yes. Remember, you and I, that when we have a chance to share with somebody in a store or in a restaurant or on the street, that we are representing. We're representing. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And ministering out of love for others, that can be life-changing for them. And not just mere words. Not just mere words. We walk and talk in the power of God actively working in our lives. And remember who qualified you. You know what? So often in our life, we think we're qualifying ourselves. Self-qualification will get you nowhere. Remember, the scripture says, He's the one that qualifies. He's the one. And He wants us to operate out of His great love for us. In closing, Jesus walked and talked with different kinds of people. Some fishermen, some just average people on the street, some people that had needs, He found a blind person, he told him to do something outrageous, just go and wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam, and you'll get your sight. And he went ahead and did it. And sure enough, his sight came back. Then that person did not know who told him to do that because he was blind. All he knew is the voice. And he was brought before those that had knowledge. They had the scriptures. They had the writings of Moses. They had the writings of the prophets. They were in leadership in Israel. They were called priests before God. And this man was brought before him as if in a trial. Who made you see? And he brought the parents in. He was an older guy. Who made you? I don't know. I have no idea. He said, and they questioned him and they bombarded him with questions and they called him like the worst sinner. But Jesus then came to his side. He said, I'm the one. And his heart melted. It's a wonderful thing. God brings healing. But God wants to melt the heart. Melt the heart. Now in context of that, because we learned here in the scripture that knowledge puffs up, love builds up. Jesus reached out to those people that desire to know him. Amen. And in closing, in John 5, 39 to 40, because he also confronted people that were adverse to who he was, he said this to them, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life." You know what, guys? I can really relate to that because I was in my 20s and I went to a Lutheran school, was forced, to memorize verse after verse after verse after verse. And yet, I refused because I wanted my way. So, I knew the scriptures, and he's telling these leaders, you study hard the scriptures, but you missed it. But you missed it. The scriptures all talk about me and who I am and what the moment is now on the planet Earth that salvation has come to man. And you refuse to listen. And you think by just knowledge of these scriptures that you have eternal life. But you refuse to come to me. You refuse to come to me. And I refuse to come to Jesus for... I remember my parents did everything they could. They sent me to a place called Camp Awana in Wisconsin. And I spent the whole week there. They were pounding scripture in me as a young 12-year-old or so. And I listened to that and went along with it. You know, I was having fun there. It was fun swimming in the lake there and everything. It was fun. It was camp. It was fun. Until the last day of camp, when they gather all of us young children around a fire, and a person was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Learn all about the scriptures. But when it came to the invitation of coming to know Jesus, I sat there at that fire and said, no way. No way am I doing this. And then later when I got into high school, my brothers, and Peter's here, my brothers, they tried to encourage me. They brought me to a Billy Graham crusade. And I sat there, heard the message, was familiar with the message. But when the invitation came, I sat in that seat and said, no way. Yes, you study the scriptures. You think they have the way to eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify of me, yet you refused. You refused. And I remember being in a Baptist church where I spent 21 years in a Baptist, Southern Baptist church. That, I guess Southern Baptist makes you more Baptist than Baptist. I don't know. And I remember in there seeing a man that taught Sunday school in that church for years, had a guest speaker come in sharing the gospel. And I saw that man get up from his seat, walk forward, bow down, and give his life to Jesus, and then later on talk to me and say, man, I spent all these years hearing the message but not knowing the person of the message. Yeah. So if you're on Zoom or you're here, I can never take it for granted that although I feel really confident those who are here know Jesus Christ. But you know what? You never can take it for granted. You may be like these leaders of a church that know all about what the scripture says and miss that the scripture is talking about him, that person, Jesus Christ. And he gave everything that we might have life, that we would have a freedom and a confidence to go to the Father, because we belong to him, belong to Jesus. So in closing, I want to invite all of you that join us on Zoom and us here that he wants to raise up that faith and raise up that confidence in him. So if you're a believer, God wants you to enter in that journey of never hitting a plateau, but growing in your faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. Yeah. That you have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. And when you go before his throne of grace, whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty you're going through, you can go there with confidence because he has given you the gift of righteousness, which gives you right standing with him. And if you don't know Jesus and you've been going through the motions, now's your chance to come and know this God of the Scriptures. The Scriptures speak from Genesis to Revelation of the Son of God who is sent to this planet to be a sacrifice that we might know and have intimate relationship with the Father. So you can pray, Father, I come to your throne of grace and mercy. Forgive me. Forgive me when I don't do things right. And Father, I desire to be righteousness and receive the gift of righteousness that you presented to me through the sacrifice of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And I invite you to come and invade my heart, my space, and let the love of God that is without measure fill my life to bring transforming power to live out the life glorifying you, Father, through Jesus Christ. Because we have power in his name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. I feel honored to follow Steve this morning, hear a testimony of his walk and journey. And I thank you, Steve. God bless you, man. And Father God, we declare in Jesus' name, Lord, we declare, Father God, that cancer gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we don't come with mere words, but with power. Father God, you have the power to heal in Jesus' name, Lord. And I believe that, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that he's on a journey to health, Lord. How old are you now?
79.
You're older than me. It's all good. I got somebody older than me here. Father, as we came together on a Wednesday night, Lord, that we read Psalms 91, and you jumped for joy to hear that he will bless you with long life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you guys. It's amazing to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Buddy, John, I love it. Get those shoes off or else there's no anointing, you know. So I noticed that and I said, wow, I noticed, he came to worship here a few times. And I noticed all, in fact, in the summertime, you were actually barefoot at one time.
Yes.
And I said, wow, man, alive. Then right away, the Holy Spirit said, you know, in this place, we stand on holy ground. We stand on holy ground. Father, bless John as he leads us in a closing worship. You know, God wants to grab our hearts in worship. He wants to grab, you know, there's power in worship, Lord. I'm just going to roll here. But you know what? It was Israel one time was just backed up by the enemies and was in an impossible situation. And King David said, you know how we're going to defeat this enemy? You know how we're going to defeat him? Hey, put the swords and the armor away. Get the tanks off to the side. Send out the worshipers and let them worship before the Lord. And the enemy was defeated that day without even raising a sword.
Amen.
Remember what we're doing here when we're worshiping God. You know, never take it for granted what's going on when we worship him. We're saying, God, bring the power down. Bring your love down. Bring your presence down. So as John leads us in this last worship song, remember, it's not just about words, it's power. And it's power to declare to the God of heaven, you are mighty. You are mighty to save. You are mighty to bring healing. You are mighty to bring deliverance. You're mighty to bring in restoration of relationships. We have that opportunity when we worship. It's not just going through the motions of songs. It's going to His throne full of love and grace and saying, come down on us. Come down on us. Wow. Father, anoint this man as he leads us in the closing worship, and his darling wife, Father God, as she drums the drum of victory in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.